Hi and welcome to the CDC Understanding Impact podcast. CDC is the UK's development finance institution and impact investor. And in this podcast series, we explore some of the biggest challenges facing developing economies and how the private sector can help overcome them. So today we're looking at a few of the ways that tech companies in India that we invest in have been responding to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, as many of you listening will be aware, COVID-19 has had a particularly significant impact on people living in India, with the country having reported the second highest number of cases in the world since the crisis started. And clearly, the pandemic has had a major effect on businesses there too, especially in a country where employees can be geographically spread out and sometimes very hard to reach, particularly when they're working outside of offices or major cities. So in this episode, we speak to three companies in the tech sector in India that have been exploring new ways of reaching workers, as well as the broader public, during the last year or so. First up, we hear from a company called Noticeboard. Noticeboard was set up as a platform to allow larger businesses to communicate with their teams in the field and run training sessions remotely. This is Noticeboard's co-founder, Vishal Galout, to tell us a bit more about the company.
Our fundamental is the you know, blue collar worker, the deskless worker who doesn't have a desk to sit out of, doesn't have a corporate email, doesn't have a company provided laptop, and is very often doing things with his or her hands. So they are either delivering goods or delivering people or moving cargo or whether it is last mile or first mile. But they are in the business of, constantly moving from one place to the other.
And as coronavirus hit, Noticeboard knew they wanted to respond.
When COVID hit, I think one of the very early realizations for us was that just how unfair the world is. Because for my team, which is mostly a software development team, it was so easy for us to say that work from home from tomorrow. We had good access to internet. We were comfortable in our homes. Of course, there's some small odd setups and small minor inconveniences along the way. But for the delivery personnel who was in the business of, moving goods from one place to the other, he cannot work from home. And so these guys who were the reason for existence were the most exposed to the virus. At that point of time, they were also, I would say, battling with a lot of misinformation as well, right? When this happened, there was official communication, which was also constantly changing. First WHO was saying that you don't need masks, then they were saying you need masks. So all of those directives were also changing. Social media and WhatsApp had its own set of problems with a ton of, information which was false. So these guys who were extremely vulnerable, both, financially as well as from a health perspective, because they were exposed to the elements way more than you and I, because they didn't have an option. They are the ones we wanted to kind of, solve for in some ways. It was very early that we realized that, we as a company which depends on these workers needs to do something about it to make the world a little bit safer for them.
One of the two interventions the company made was to create a simplified version of the main Noticeboard app, which could be provided to smaller businesses at a lower cost.
When we saw that, people are reaching out and this need to, implement fresh SOPs and to keep their staff safe and, keep misinformation at bay is not limited to large teams, we thought it would make sense if we can have a simpler version of Noticeboard which smaller teams can access.
The second way the business responded was by creating an online series of content that aimed to combat misinformation.
We always knew when building this product that, software development does take time, right? So we knew that that's not an area where we'll be able to have an immediate impact. So the other initiative that we undertook was more focused on delivering, I would say, more instant results, which was essentially just a way for us to put out accurate information out there. So what we did was we started investing in a series of content which was focused on how to keep yourself safe during the pandemic. And we were specifically talking to, 3-4 profiles which don't have the option of working from home. So one of these profiles we focused on was a logistics worker. One profile we worked on was a cab driver. We worked on security personnel, and then we worked on retail store associates. Of course, it's hard to know the real impact that this content has had, because we don't have direct access to these people. But we do know that purely from a reach perspective, just on social media, we've reached about 1 million people and another 500,000 people on our own platform. So we've already impacted around 1.5 million people with our content. And so much so that, you know, we are now thinking of making this, longer initiative and even think beyond COVID, right? So now that, you know, people are generally aware of how to keep themselves safe, we are thinking of, can we make this into a more regular health and safety initiative? We've been, to be honest, quite blown away by the amount of people viewing our content. We had set ourselves a target of reaching 100,000 people. And, you know, there are some videos which by themselves have reached around 100,000.
Technology business Loadshare has a network of over 6,000 independent drivers and small and medium-sized logistics companies all over India that use its platform. The company already had several measures in place to communicate with its dispersed workforce, but the pandemic meant Loadshare needed to do more to really understand their needs. We worked with the business to carry out a survey of their workforce and see how they can respond to them more effectively. Here's Loadshare's co-founder and CEO, Raghuram Tuluri.
The actions that we're taking from the survey, clearly there was one thing on putting a grievance redressal mechanism. And that is something that we prioritized to take it up into our product roadmap. And we know that we can't do this by, like, you know, having a ombudsman number and you call this number kind of stuff. It has to be a lot more self-serve, lot more kind of technology enabled. These guys are all working on a smartphone app that we built. And therefore, if you have an issue, you can log it. And then we'll triage it and say, hey, is this a genuine issue? It's not. But at least there is a way for us to accept it. And I think psychologically for them, they know that, look, the company cares enough that you are eliciting feedback from me or telling me that if you have a problem, there is a way for you to voice your opinion. That's one. The second one was a worker engagement manager. Right? Again, this is something that we have assigned one person part-time to really look at this. And one part of it is, of course, looking at if there are any redress grievances that come, how do we resolve it? But even beyond that, right, take some of the thoughts that came from this particular thing and say, what can we do? Like, you know, we are, given the current situation in the country, they have a task force that we put together for just taking care of people, right? And that is not just limited to our employees. And we are now trying to figure out a way for them to get doctor on call, right? Telemedicine. Now, this is something that they were not exposed to. They would not know. And many of them have appreciated that, look, you know, I didn't expect this to come through, right? We've said, look, you know, for all of them, we've created a corpus saying if there's anybody, any kind of fatality, we will provide this much for the family. So we are doing all of these things as actions. And that is just a part of the whole thread that we've launched with saying, look, we need to figure out a way to engage better with the delivery boy and our frontline community.
And Raghuram says that this survey has helped the business improve their understanding of who they're working with.
Before we did this, we don't have a good formal way of kind of knowing the demographics of the people who are coming. But I think it's important to care. Right? It's important to know what is his skill set and what can he be kind of groomed into and why is he doing it and is he the right fit at all or is it just a kind of, like you said, right? He's doing it because it's a momentary thing. He needs some money and therefore he's come and where he finds something else is off. And maybe there's somebody else who's the right profile. And if we don't take cognizance of this fact and figure out some solutions around it, we will always be a situation where you'll just be like running after, okay, you've had 100 people next month, like 30 people leave, a month after another 30 leave, right? Rather than that, you're finding out and investing in getting the right people who will be there for the longer term.
Lastly, we hear from Joe Agarwal, co-founder of mental health app Wiser. Wiser is an app developed in India, but it's actually used all over the world. Joe says the pandemic has helped underline the importance of looking after mental health to the organizations, businesses, and individuals they work with.
I think 1 year ago, it's possibly, you know, something that we had to really canvas and explain to people that 1 in 4 people are struggling with mental health or mental illness. But in today's day and age, especially post-COVID, I think every organization is beginning to realize, every family is beginning to realize that that this is as much a mental health pandemic as it is a physical health pandemic, that all of us are struggling with anxiety, with grief, with anger, with just relationship issues because we're boxed into one home with everybody else, or loneliness. And all of these to us are what we call the missing middle of mental health. Mental health has always been talked about in the context of either sort of wellness on one side, like meditation or yoga, or illness on the other, to say that, you know, somebody has to be clinically depressed. But actually, as we have all found, that, you know, you can be up at 2 a.m. and all of us have been there with thoughts going through your head, not able to sleep. And you need to work on your mental health so that you can actually be productive, so that you can actually not decompensate into an anxiety disorder or into depression or burnout. So that is really where we feel there needs to be a transformation in how the world looks at mental health. And that's what we are advocating for.
And Joe tells us why the Wiser app is becoming more popular with employers.
Most employers like us because at a population level, they can get insights into what is happening with their employees without compromising the integrity or the privacy of an individual. So each individual can talk about what they're going through, and Wiser will tell the employer that at a population level, the kind of emotions your team are dealing with are, they're angry, or they're, there's, you know, these are the myriad of emotions across various clients. About 30% of the people typically feel like they're not feeling okay, but your particular population in London is actually 40% is not feeling okay. So you probably want to look at why. And these are the kind of things that they're talking about just at a broad emotion level or area of issues, like they might be struggling with sleep. So you might want to run these campaigns. And then we give them the campaigns to run. So the combination of going from, you know, running the campaigns to getting take up to getting insights and then closing the loop again and integrating with their existing EAP, existing services that they have, wherever they have it, really creates a holistic mental health solution for them. So most organizations that adopt it, they're like, I didn't even realize this was possible, while still making each of their employees feel that it's completely anonymous and private, and they have support at 4 a.m. The other thing is they don't have any space where people who are not yet sort of in the clinical diagnosis space can feel heard, can actually talk about what they're dealing with. So in that AI space where people can talk, and if they need help, they can actually go to somebody in person, or if they don't, they can help themselves. That is something that people are very excited about.
So that's pretty much it then for today's episode. Hopefully it's provided a quick snapshot of some of the ways that tech businesses in India have been responding to the pandemic to help workers and the broader population as well. Our thanks to all of the guests today for taking part. And if you want to find out more about the companies or topics that we've been discussing, we've put some links in the episode notes for this podcast as well. Thank you very much for listening to this CDC Understanding Impact podcast. We'll be back with a new episode very soon. See you then.